So a man was tight roping across Niagara Falls. The winds coming off the falls were fierce, and they almost pulled him down several times, but he made it across, and then he turned around and returned. As he was going back, a large crowd formed to watch this amazing feat. And when he finally made it, they applauded and they were excited. And then he turned to the man who was typing, he turned to the crowd and was like, how many of you guys can believe I can do this now with a wheelbarrow? And of course, the crowd was like, yes, yes, he can do it, he can do it. And so he gets a wheelbarrow and he crawls across Niagara Falls again. Once again, the winds are fierce. He has to concentrate. He almost gets pulled down several times. But he makes it back, and the crowd is bigger, and they're just like, this is awesome, this is amazing. And then he turns to the crowd and is like, all right, now how many of you believe I can do this with a man inside the wheelbarrow? And the crowd's like, yes, yes, you can do it, you can do it, we believe in it. And so he looks at the crowd, and he sees someone in the front, and he's like, sir, will you please get into the wheelbarrow? And of course, the guy's like, no, no, not me. I am not your man. Well, many times, there's a lot of people who, like, they go to church. And they're Christians. They say they are Christians. But when Jesus comes to them and says, come, pick up your cross, follow me, they turn to Jesus and they're like, no, no, I'm not your man. You see, faith is one thing, but faith acted out through obedience is another. When we come to Mark 4, we see that a large crowd is forming around Jesus wherever he goes. In fact, in Mark 4, the crowd is so big that he has to get into a boat and go into like the middle of a lake so he doesn't get stampeded and so that he can teach and so people can hear him. And when you hear Jesus and you hear him teaching, he always starts by saying almost the same thing. He always starts by saying, listen. He wants his audience to listen to him. He wants his audience to hear what he has to say. But the truth is, the crowds are not there to listen to Jesus. They're there for the show. They want to see him do something miraculous. They want to see him heal people. But they're not there to actually listen to Jesus. We see this in Scripture. We see this in Mark 4, verse 12. He says to them, that they may indeed see. They are seeing Jesus, but they're not perceiving who Jesus is. They are indeed hearing what he is saying, but they're not really understanding Jesus. Because if they did see him, they did hear them, they would all turn and be forgiven. But they're not. They're not turning to Jesus to be forgiven. Further on, if you go to verse 20, this is kind of a review from last week. You go to verse 20. You see that Jesus gives this parable about the soils, and he starts talking about what marks a true believer, what marks a person as someone who is a true believer, someone who is truly following me, following Jesus. And he says that those who are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, they hear the gospel, they accept it as truth, but then they go out and they bear fruit. They spread the gospel. They spread the word. They spread the light. The question I want to challenge you guys through this week, this Thanksgiving week, is I want to challenge you guys with this question. Are you willing to get into the wheelbarrow? Are you willing to pick up your cross and follow Jesus? Are you really listening? Or are you just here for the show? The question I'm going to ask you today is for those who are wanting to get into the wheelbarrow, the ones who are wanting to listen to Jesus. My sermon today is for the ones who really want to follow Christ. In another passage in John, 10:27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. Today, the question is, how do we listen to God? How can we listen to God? And to answer this question, this section of scripture, there's four different parables, and each parable kind of teaches a way that we can go about listening to God. The first one is we should listen to God through obedience. The second is we need to listen to God carefully. The third is we need to listen to God with dependently. And the fourth is we need to listen to God with confidence, confidently. Let's start off with the first parable. The first parable starts in verse 21. And it's a very common one. You guys have all heard this one before. And Jesus says, and he's saying, and he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, and he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. And so, what is the first way for us to listen to God? How can we listen to God? The first way is we need to listen to God obediently. How do I see this in this verse? Well, first off, this verse is talking about light. A lamp gives out light. And light in Scripture represents a lot of different things, but for the most part, it represents truth, righteousness, goodness. It represents God. And so when Jesus is talking about the light here, he's talking a lot about the gospel, but he's also talking about those who hold the gospel inside and those who believe the gospel. We actually even get the sense in Scripture of us walking in the light. Ephesians 5:8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Now, what does it mean to walk as children of light? Well, that means to walk after the person who gives us the light in the first place, to walk after the source of the light, to mimic the source of the light, which is Jesus Christ himself, which is the gospel. And so when Jesus is talking about us not hiding the light underneath the basket, not hiding the light under the bed, what he's talking about is not failing to represent the gospel or the truthfulness or the righteousness of Jesus, of Scripture, of God. But there are a couple of ways that believers often hide the light. People who want to listen to God, there are a couple of ways that people who have a relationship with God, we tend to hide the light from our world. The one way we tend to hide the light is we tend to act like the world. What do I mean by that? Well, as you read in Ephesians, we were formerly darkness. That's what we knew growing up. That's what we know even today. But we were moved into the light of the world. But sometimes we have the tendency to want to continue to walk in darkness. We continue to lie, steal, cheat. We continue to live like the world. We continue to fill our lives with worldly desires. We continue to listen to music that teaches things that are contrary to what the Bible teaches. We tend to go to movies and fill our lives with movies that supports things that the Bible condemns. We fill our lives with darkness and we walk like the darkness to the point where no one knows that we are the light. That no one knows that we are the Christians. That no one knows that we have the gospel. One thing I've always teach my students, and I want to teach everyone here, is if no one knows that you are a Christian at your workplace, if no one knows that you are a Christian at your schools, if no one knows that there is something different about you, then you are hiding the light from the world. And the world needs it. They are in darkness. The world needs the light. They need us to show them the truth. They need us to show them the goodness, the righteousness of God. And so Jesus does not want us to hide that from the world. He wants us to show the world the light. The second way we often hide the light is by failing to share our faith with others, to evangelize, to share the gospel with the unbelieving, with the darkness. We fail to do what God has called us to do, which is evangelize, to make disciples of all the nations. This is kind of the primary way the light is portrayed in Scripture. It is the gospel, the light of Jesus. And Jesus calls us to obediently follow him and share that light with everyone around us. But oftentimes we get scared. We get scared to do that. We get scared because, rightly so, it's a dangerous job. When you are light and you go to the darkness and you shine the light on the darkness, people don't like that because it exposes them. It exposes them and they see the wickedness that's in this, inside them, and they don't like that. And so when you step out and you try to share the light with other people who live in darkness, well, oftentimes it causes trouble for you. It can make you the weird kid at school who's always talking about Jesus. It can make you even maybe lose your job. And that scares us. But God wants us to be the light in the world. He wants us to walk in obedience, to walk as a light, to walk as children of the light. And that means that we are to do what Jesus did. It means that we are to walk like Jesus did. And one of the things that Jesus did all the time was he shared the gospel. He shared about the kingdom of God. And so, how should we listen to God? Well, we need to listen to God obediently. That's the first thing. The second thing is we need to listen to God carefully. And this is found in verses 23 through 25. And so Mark 23 through 25 says, "If anyone has ears, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Now, when I first read this verse, I got a little bit confused. It seemed to be a little bit complex to me. I didn't fully understand what the author was talking about. And so when I ever come to a verse that I have a little bit of a hard time like fully grasping or understanding, the first thing I do as a trained pastor is I go to the original language. I go to the Greek, and I see what the Greek says. And in this case, the ESV, which is what we're reading, it's pretty much a word-for-word translation. They do a great job. It's a word-for-word translation. And so going to the Greek wasn't actually much help in that case. I was still a little bit confused. Like, what exactly is Jesus talking about here? And so then the second step I do, and this is something that everyone in this room can do as well, is I like to go to different English translations of that verse and see how different scholars have translated. Now, you guys might not know much about how the Bible was translated, but let me give you a quick seminary lesson. Different Bibles have different methods of translation. The NASB is very strict and rigid. They try their best to translate it word for word. But when they do that, sometimes it makes it kind of hard to understand what the Bible is saying. But they are very faithful to the text, very faithful to the original Greek language. The ESV is not as rigid as the NASB, but they're still pretty rigid. It's still pretty word-for-word translations. But then you have some other translations, like the NIV and the NLT, and they tend to be a little bit more, not word-for-word, but like idea by idea. Now, they do still like translate word-for-word on several of the passages, if it makes sense. But when it comes to some of the more complicated ideas that sometimes Scripture presents to us, they'll have a little bit more of interpretation within their translation. And so when I came to this passage, I was really curious to like exactly what it was meaning. I mean, I've read many passages like this before, but I just wanted to make sure I got it exactly right. So I went to all these different translations. I put them all next to each other, and I see how the different authors, the different scholars translated these passages. And what I found was the ESV and the NLT have drastically different translations. Now, the reason why is because the NLT, my bad, the NLT, they actually have a big asterisk by their passage in this regard. And the asterisk says this is not a word-for-word translation, but this is kind of what we think Jesus is saying. And you can see the ESV has a lot less words than the NLT. And that is because the NLT translators are trying to help translate the idea and help make sense of what Jesus is saying in this parable. And I actually, when I read the NLT, I pondered on this verse for a while. And I started to understand like why they translated this way. And it started to make sense. And I actually agree with NLT here. I agree that they are capturing the idea of what Jesus is saying. Because look at the verse. Let me read the NLT real quick. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, but for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they will have will be taken away from them. Now, why did the NLT scholars translate it this way? Well, they asked themselves this question, and this is the question I failed to ask when I first read this passage, is what is being measured here? I just naturally assumed that what the thing was being measured was our character, like our godliness, our actions. But they are actually saying that the thing that's being measured here is actually how you are listening, how well you are listening. They connect the first clause in the sentence, pay attention to what you hear. They connect that to the rest of the chapter, to the rest of the verse. And I found that be a remarkable insight. And so I went back to the Greek and I looked at it. And yes, you can do it that way. And so I realized that this might really well be the truth. Because here's the thing. We live in a society where we don't measure things. We never measure things anymore. But in the first century, they were measuring things all the time. That's how you bought stuff. That's how you sold stuff. They would put it on scales and they would measure out. So when Jesus says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, the first question the Jewish people would have asked themselves is, what are you measuring? And Jesus tells them exactly what they are measuring. It's your ability to listen. How well are you listening? And so the more you listen, the more you are listening, the closer you are listening to Jesus, the more carefully you are listening to Jesus, the more you will receive the results of that listening skill, which is understanding. And so this is kind of like a Hebrew idiom that Jesus is giving to them. And I loved how the NLT kind of just broke it down for me. It really made it make sense all of a sudden. What Jesus is saying to them is, listen carefully to my teachings. Are you listening carefully to what I'm saying? Those who listen carefully, they will get a greater understanding. For those who are not listening, they won't understand. But there's a second part, and the second part, it almost seems a little bit unfair. It says, for to the one who has, the more will be given. And for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. It seems a little bit unfair to people, you know? The one who has, he gets more. But the one who doesn't have, he gets less. How is that fair, Jesus? Why don't you give the one who has less more so he can understand? But Jesus is not talking about wealth. He's talking about understanding, about hearing, about listening, about godliness. Think about it like this. Let's say you want to get a six-pack. You want to get strong and buff. What do you need to do? You need to go to the gym. You need to lift weights and you need to run. But let's say you want to get that six-pack. You want to get buff. But all you do is go sit on the couch and eat McDonald's. What's going to happen? You're not going to receive the benefits of the person of working out. You're not going to receive that. In fact, what's going to happen is the health that you have is going to deteriorate and you're going to get worse. We're the same when it comes to spiritual fitness. If you want to get closer to Jesus, if you want to get closer to God, if you want to grow your faith, but all you do is continue doing the exact same things you've always done, and you don't spend more time in the Word, you don't pray more, you don't follow Jesus more closely, you don't study His Word more closely, then you're never going to receive the benefits of that spiritual workout because you're not working out spiritually. And so a lot of times, a lot of students, they would come to me and they ask me, how can I grow closer to God? And the answer is, listen. Listen to God through obedience. Obey God. Change your life. Change your actions. Change your lifestyles to match it more closely to Jesus. The closer your lifestyle is to the lifestyle of Jesus, the more faith, the more blessings you will receive from that spiritual workout. And it is a workout. It's exhausting. But it's what we must do if we want to get closer, if we want to grow our faith. We need to listen to God carefully. But I'm talking a lot about human effort here. And there's another element to this where there's also we need to be dependent on Jesus for this. And that's actually my next point in the next parable. We need to listen to God, and we need to listen to Him dependently. And so the verses 26 through 29 says, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, what is the role of the farmer in this parable? He sows the seed. I grew up in Nebraska. I grew up in the heart of Nebraska, Farmtown, USA. I grew up with a lot of farmers. And I tell you, I believe farmers are some of the hardest working Americans. They are constantly busy. And so for a farmer, they have to till the ground. They have to get the good soil up. And then they have to plant the seed. And they have to water the seed. They do a lot of work. But ultimately, they're not the ones who causes the seed to sprout and grow. They have no power to make that happen. Only God does. And so similarly, we can take our unbelieving friends. We can share the gospel with them. We can invite them to Bible studies. We can pour the love of God down on their lives. And we can resemble Jesus perfectly. But we cannot make a person believe. We can't make that seed sprout. That is the work of Jesus. To put it another way, no human being contributes to the regeneration, the conversion, the justification, the salvation process. All we can do is share the truth. Be the light. God is the one who has to save people. But I don't think it's just salvation. I also think it's our sanctification as well. That is not just God is not just in charge of ourselves. He's also in charge of growing us as Christians, of having us produce fruit in our lives. We can read our Bible. We can pray. We can be completely obedient. But God is the one who takes those things and produces fruit in our lives to be harvested. This is what we call the sovereignty of God. And so when we listen to God, we need to acknowledge that we are listening to Him completely dependent on His power, His strength for our salvation, but also for our transformation. He's the one who makes the fruit grow in our lives. And so in this passage, you see that. It's kind of a funny thing. the farmer sows, and what does he go? He goes, takes a nap. And then Jesus does all the rest of the work. In the same way, it's kind of similar. You do work. You do do the work. You do listen to obedience. You do listen carefully to Jesus' words. But then you allow God to do the rest of the work, and he will. And that's actually my next parable, is that we can have confidence in Jesus. How should we listen to God? We should listen to him confidently. And this is found in verses 30 through 32. And this is the last parable. Did I do it? All right. Mark 4:30 to 32 says, "And he said, 'What can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? Is it like a grain of mustard seed which was sown on the ground? It's the smallest of the seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade.'" So what is a mustard seed? Well, here is the size of a mustard. You can see it fits right between the tips of your fingers. It's very small. It's the smallest seed that the Jewish farmer would have used back in that day. And here is the what it most likely it was growing to, most likely what Jesus was talking about. It's called a mustard bush. And it could be up to 15 feet tall and 6 feet in circumference. It's humongous. It is by large the biggest garden plant in Israel. So big that birds nest in it. Now, this parable of the seed, the mustard seed, it's used in reference to the kingdom of God, talking about how the kingdom of God is going to grow and expand. And we have the privilege of hindsight that we've actually seen this come true. We've seen this parable come alive. The gospel, the Christian church, it started with 12. In 3 years, it grew to maybe 70 people. And this was when Jesus was crucified. There were maybe, I think there was about 70 people left in the room who was still like trying to follow Jesus and wasn't sure what's going to happen. But then he was resurrected. Jesus was resurrected. And the Holy Spirit came. And the church just exploded. And before you knew it, you had thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands. And this is remarkable because the early church faced every kind of obstacle you can imagine. They faced persecution. By just saying that you were a Christian, you faced the death penalty. They faced false teachers. There were people walking around saying they were Christians, teaching things that were outside the gospel, that were not true. They faced false teachers. They faced every single obstacle you could imagine, yet the kingdom of God grew, and it grew, and it grew to the point where nowadays there are about 2 billion people in the world who say they are Christians, who are connected to the church in one way or another. Now, how many of those have saving faith can be debated. But that's still remarkable growth. We really see how the kingdom of God started as a mustard seed and how it has become a bush. Well, it's the same with us, though, guys. Like, God is promising, he promises us the same thing when it comes to our sanctification, when it comes to our salvation. It will start out small. It will start out as a seed in our lives. But God will grow it. He will make it into a bush. He will help us get in that barrel and follow him. And so when we listen to Jesus, when we listen to God, we should listen with confidence, knowing that in the end, he will be victorious. He will be victorious in our world. It says in Scripture that every tongue, every nation will give him praise. And so in the end, he will be victorious, but also he will be victorious in our lives. He will complete the work that he started in us. Now, it's very easy for us to get discouraged because we We live in a world that I think is actually post-Christian now. America is post-Christian. And so when we walk the halls of our school, when we go to our works, to our places of work, we don't often see Christianity values on display. We feel the darkness of the world. We feel our world, we feel almost as if Christianity is becoming irrelevant in our culture. And so it can almost feel as if we're losing the battle. But I want you to understand, this is not the first time the church has faced obstacles. But God has a way. And in the end, he will be victorious. He will be. And we can have confidence in that. We can have confidence in God. And so there are four parables in this section of Scripture. The first one teaches us that we should listen to God through obedience. How should we listen to God? We should listen through obedience. The second one is we should listen to God through, oh my goodness, carefully. In fact, we need to listen to God dependently, and then we also need to listen to God confidently. But there is another part, and this is kind of what I'm going to close on today, another part of this whole entire message that I want you guys to understand. And this is kind of found in the last two verses, Mark 4, 33 through 34. It says, "With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything." And so how should we listen to God? Well, there's only one way we can listen to Jesus. There's only one way we can listen to God. And that is first, we need to have a relationship with him. We can't just show up for the show. We can't just come to church on Sundays and expect to hear from God. We need to pursue a relationship with Jesus. We need to stay after he is done teaching and listen to him explain it to us. Like I'm positive that Jesus would not have told anyone who stayed afterwards to ask questions. He would not have told them to go home. He would have more than happily have explained to them the parables. But like I said, the crowds were not interested in actually hearing Jesus. They didn't want that relationship. Are you guys ready to listen, to hear Jesus? Are you guys wanting to follow after him, to trust him, to get into that wheelbarrow, knowing that you are in safe, secure hands because it's Jesus who is pushing you along? Jesus wants us to listen. He's emphatically asking us. He's saying over and over again, listen. Let me pray. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you so much for everyone here. I do pray that you would help us be good stewards, to be good stewards of your word, Father, to be good listeners, that we would hear your word, that we would hear what you are trying to teach us, and that, God, that we would model our life after your words, after your instructions, that we would follow you, knowing that in doing so, we will receive the blessings of the kingdom, the blessings of good fruit being raised in our lives. But God, we also acknowledge that this is impossible without your strength, without your power in our lives. And so God, please, please help us grow. Help us produce fruit in our lives personally, but also in the world, in the school, in our workplaces, Father. Help us spread the light of the word. Help us spread the light of the gospel to everyone. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.